Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message.
Well, we are ending our habits series today, so doesn't mean that you're supposed to stop any habits that you started, though. That was like when we ended our purpose series. I was like, well, we're ending our purpose. And I was like, wait a minute, that's really bad. Don't end your purpose, right? So if you've been here for the last few months, we have been on this track. We've been talking about identity in Christ. And then we were talking about discovering and walking intentionally in life purpose. Living on purpose is that series. And then this past month, we've been talking about where the rubber hits the road, which is where habits come into play. Because if your purpose isn't lived out in your habits, then you're just thinking of cool thoughts, but you're never actually living them out, right? And so if any of that you missed, or you're newer and you missed some of that, just go to the website, because it's all on Spotify and Apple Music and that kind of thing for podcasts if you want to catch up. But I have a couple very important things to start with, mostly my jokes. So here we go. I don't have any bad habits. I am good at them all. Yes. A daughter told her dad, "Dad, you've impressed me today. I noticed that you have finally formed the habit of covering your mouth with your hand when you sneeze." Her dad says, "Yes, of course. How else am I supposed to catch my teeth?" Yeah. Ouch. Okay, shall we get into the Word of God? Sometimes I have to tell a bad joke just to pull our attention to the Word of God here. So today is the perfect day to wrap up habits, because God is always in the habit of making all things new. And if you've known God for any amount of time, you know that to be true, right? He doesn't recycle, even though recycling is good, right? We live in Ithaca. If you do, go recycle. But he doesn't recycle. He actually makes you brand new. So for every one of you that got baptized, even if you don't feel it right now, he has made you new. And baptism, have you ever wondered, where did baptism come from? Like, I mean, water is great and all, but what is this actually doing, right? Well, in Judaism, there's something called a mikveh. And it was a pool, and a bath. And they would go in, and it would signify that they were getting purified. So they would dip in and then come out. So when Jesus talked about baptism, it wasn't just some random new tradition he was trying to put in. He was actually saying, you've been going in and out of the water to get purified multiple times, but I'm saying you go in and you come up new. You are purified. You're born again. Isn't that powerful? I love when you can see how the New Testament is connected with the Old Testament, and it brings such a more richness to your faith. So I just want to encourage you this morning with that. So this last month, if we just do a quick overview, the first week we talked about orphan versus sonship habits and receiving and giving God's love. So we asked the question, are you thinking more as an orphan, or are you living more as a son and daughter of God? And your habits will reflect that. All right. Then week two, we asked, are your habits flipping tables, or are they setting up shop for the enemy? And we looked at that scripture in the Bible story where Jesus went into the temple and started flipping tables. And then at another point, it talks about how we are the temple of God. We are a prayer house for God. And so in our daily lives, are we setting up shop for the enemy, or are we letting Jesus flip tables in our habits? For example, I talked about a few habits that flip tables, and there are a lot of them. I had a list, but I didn't include that in today's message. But one was, building each other up with our words and actually making a habit of encouragement. That flips the table of division. Right? And it could go on. Daily scripture reading flips the table of sin. And so there's just some daily habits and some weekly habits that we can do that flip tables in our lives. And then last week we talked about, where are your habits taking you? And we had the car show, which, by the way, we got feedback from some of the people that showed their cars. And I will just say that they felt so, so loved that they actually shared that with us. And it was incredible. So not only was it kind of fun, and unfortunately, due to the weather, we had only a couple cars when there was supposed to be a lot more, which we are learning weather really matters with cars. But the two that came got really blessed and impacted. So thank you guys to everyone who encouraged them and blessed them, because we got real feedback. So where are your habits taking you? Just like the cars, do you have broken car habits? And we talked about Zacchaeus and how Zacchaeus climbed a tree to see Jesus. Are your habits even taking you up a tree to get to Jesus? Are your habits even uncomfortable a little bit sometimes to make it to Jesus? That makes sense? Now, what was fun was last Sunday after church, I got to go to the park to be with some grandparents for Father's Day. And guess what tree that they were just surrounding the entire park area? A sycamore tree. And let me tell you, those things are really tall. And so, you know, I always think of Zacchaeus climbing this little, you know, stub of a tree. But man, those things went up like 30, 40 feet. So I don't know how high he had to go, but I think Zacchaeus was a strong little man, because those trees are really big to climb. So anyway, where are your habits taking you? Our theme verse has been Proverbs 4, verse 25 through 27. It says, "Let your eyes look straight ahead, fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the paths for your feet and be steadfast or consistent in all of your ways. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil." So there's this invitation this month at Thrive to really think and start acting intentionally in our lives, to live on purpose in our relationships, in our health, in our finances, and all of that, but most importantly, in our walk with God and how we're living that out. So we talked about a habit loop. A habit loop is a term that says there's a trigger, and I know trigger is a negative term, but really it could be positive or negative. There's a behavior or an action, and then there's a reward. For example, today's example, my examples for this have been very fun. You stink, right? That triggers a shower, right? And then what's the reward? You have friends, maybe a job, right? This is good. This is a good thing, right? And, you know, we blow habits out of, you know, we're like, I want to make a habit of, you know, fasting or praying for 5 hours a day. Have you ever just gotten like very spiritual and you're like, let's do this? And God's like, well, let's start with a shower, right? Let's start with 5 minutes with me, because sometimes we'll be more faithful in the 5 minutes than we will with our great intention for 5 hours, right? And God looks at the heart and he just wants to start some steps with us. So here's the thing though, there's trigger, behavior, and reward, but we know that before there's a trigger, we got to ask why. Why do I stink, right? In that example, why do I smell? Now, maybe, don't worry, if this is your first time at church, you're like, what is wrong with the preacher? And hopefully, you know, I don't think I smell, just it was a good example. But if I'm not showering, what's going on? Am I staying up late and I'm out of time? Well, why am I doing that? Because I'm depressed and I'm not ready to face the next day. Maybe, right? Or maybe I have really low self-worth, so I actually just don't want to take care of myself. How many know that you can try to shower as many times as you want, but if you don't get to that root of why you're not, you're going to put in a lot of muscle to try and change. And Jesus died on that cross to come after our why. And some of us this month have been trying to change our habits, and you've been getting nowhere, and you're like, what's going on? Why can't I change? And it's because you haven't stopped to ask, well, why was I doing the negative habit or the dysfunctional habit in the first place? Because God is after the root. He wants to transform us. He doesn't want to do behavior modification. He wants to transform you. Amen? I think that deserved an amen, but I don't know. If Jesus died on the cross for behavior modification, I think that would be a whole nother gospel, but that's not the gospel that we read in the scripture. He died on that cross to change us from the inside out. And of course, the fruit of being transformed by Jesus is it's going to show in our actions, but we can't just focus on our actions. That'll be a lot of work. So we're going to actually focus on Matthew 3 today. Because before Jesus did anything in his public ministry, he knew his why formed every habit. And you know, I wrote this sermon a few times, actually. It was one of those weeks. And at one point, I had an entire page just listing all the things that Jesus did. Well, it wasn't all the things. That would have been a lot more than a page. But, you know, I wrote, he healed the sick. He opened the eyes. He opened the ears, the mouth. He healed the paralyzed. He raised the dead. There are all these things. He multiplied food. And then I got more to his human side, where he ate. He slept, he fasted, he was in community. There's all these lists of what he did. And if you've ever looked at that, I'm like, now what? How can I start implementing some of these habits? But again, that's going to be a lot of work, because really what I need to go after is, why did he do that? Because if my why lines up with his why, I'm going to start seeing fruit in my life. Does that make sense? So we're going to start in Matthew 3, and we're just going to really live here for most of the sermon. I got in trouble the last time I said that because Pastor Caleb said, you didn't live in the verse you said you were going to live in. So I'm really going to try to focus on this verse today and not go off. All right, so number one. Well, let's read the whole verse. Then Jesus went from the Galilee to the Jordan River to be baptized by John, but John tried to talk him out of it. Anybody getting baptized here? Any voices in your head try to talk you out of it? I am the one who needs to be baptized by you, he said, so why are you coming to me? Everyone say, so why? But Jesus said, it should be done, for we must carry out all that God requires. So John agreed to baptize him. After his baptism, as Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove. Just a simple note here, it doesn't say it was a dove, all right? So I just want to clarify that. Holy Spirit is much more than a dove. And settling on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my dearly loved son who brings me great joy. So let's actually pick this apart to find out Jesus's why. So number one, Jesus teaches us to know your why. Because it says, then Jesus went from the Galilee to the Jordan River to be baptized. Now, if you've never been to Israel, you don't know the distance between the Galilee and the Jordan River. And maybe you think it's like, you know, from Six Mile Creek over to Cayuga Lake. But the distance is 150 miles, depending on where you're going, all right? We don't know, you know, it's hard to say where he was coming from exactly or where he went on the Jordan River, but that's a lot of miles to walk. And so there's a place called Bethany Beyond the Jordan, and it's the oldest pilgrimage site in the entire world, and it's where they think Jesus was baptized. I've been there a few times. Pastor Caleb and Natalie and Leah have been there. It's a beautiful place on the Jordan River. Did you guys get baptized in there? I don't remember. I don't think so. The water is a little rivery, let me put it that way, but it is very beautiful. But the point is that 150 miles is a very long time for Jesus to walk. That's actually more than 200,000 steps that he had to take. Now, if you remember from last week, Samson took about, I think it was 54,000 steps in the wrong direction to go meet with a prostitute. And we talked about that last Sunday, if you were here. Well, today we're talking about how Jesus took over 200,000 steps in the right direction because he knew his why. That was 200,000 choices to not get distracted or to pick an easier route. And you could make a list of what Jesus's why was. My grammar today is just going to be really fun talking about his why. And I made a short list. You know, he came to destroy the works of the enemy, to serve, to bind up the broken hearts, to call sinners to repentance. You can do a Bible study on that probably for the rest of your life, and it will change you forever. But I summarized why Jesus came, because he came to restore relationship between humanity and God. He came to show the greatest love and to lay down his life for his friends. In John 15:13, it says, there is no greater love. So when you know your why, you can walk over 200,000 steps. When you know your why, nothing's going to stop you. When you know your why in your relationships, in your finances, in your job, in your daily choices, in your relationship with God, most importantly, that's nothing's going to stop you because you know your why. You'll take 200,000 steps for it. Anyone feel like you took 200,000 steps to church this morning? Anybody got toddlers? How about teenagers? How about a spouse? How about yourself right? I tell you what, when I got out of bed this morning, I was like, it's going to feel like 200,000 steps to church. But you know what? People are getting baptized. We got to be there, right? And so sometimes life feels like 200,000 steps. And if we're talking about habits, we cannot sugarcoat this. There's going to come a time when you are on that 200,000 step journey in your relationship, in your finances, in your walk with God. And you better know your why, because it's going to propel you forward when nothing else will. A lot of us know or pretend to know our what. Who here has ever asked, what do, right? That's like, how are you doing? Well, what do you do? What do you do, right? What do you do? But rarely do we ask, well, why? Why do you do that? In fact, that's a really scary question to ask. I don't think I'd want a stranger to be like, what's your name? Well, why do you do that, right? I'd be like, I don't know. Then I might have a slight career crisis or whatever, you know, because why do we do that? Our why will propel our what. And some of us have been ignoring why we're doing what we're doing. And it's actually numbing us out to our life. We're just going through the motions because we've forgotten why. Are you following? I know all the whys and whats are getting a little bit tangled up. So hang in there with me. I'm going to try and speak good English this morning. Muscling through change will not cut it. Muscling through trying to change a habit will not cut it. Or Jesus wouldn't have had to die. And so some of us, as we've been talking about habits, as I said, have been trying to muscle through changing a habit. And there is some blood, sweat, and tears that goes into change. But first, we need to actually receive the breakthrough from Jesus, right? There's this story of, you probably heard it. I've heard a couple variations, so I don't know if it's totally true, but we're going to say it this morning. This girl would always cut the ham, the edges of the ham off. And one day she asked her mom, Mom, why do I cut the end of the ham off? And the mom's like, I don't know. You better call your grandma. Your grandma always taught me to cut the end of the ham off. So she calls her grandma, and the grandma's like, I don't know. That was what my mom always did. So she calls the great-grandmother. The great-grandmother said, well, the pan was too short. You don't need to cut the end of the ham off. What are you doing? Right? Some of our habits we've picked up, they're actually generational dysfunctional habits. And maybe they're not even dysfunctional. They're just... Have you ever met someone you're like, that's just a weird habit they've got, right? It's not wrong, but it's weird, right? Some of us have some weird habits, or even the church has picked up some weird habits. Like, but why do we do that, right? It's important to know your why. I like this. This is James Clear. He says, it's hard to change your habits if you never change the underlying belief that led you to your past behavior. You have a good new goal and a new plan, but if you haven't changed who you are, you're just going to continue in that dysfunctional pattern. If you don't stop and think of why. Luke 18 says, as Jesus approached Jericho, a blind beggar was sitting beside the road when he heard the noise of a crowd going past. He asked what was happening, and they told him that Jesus, the Nazarene, was going by. So he began shouting, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? Now, I don't know about you, but if I'm blind and Jesus comes up to me and says, what do you want me to do? I might be a little offended. I'd be like, well, I'm blind, right? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. Jesus is really saying, why do you want me to come to you? Why? Repentance happens when we actually take responsibility for what we've been thinking and our why, and we give it to Jesus to be transformed. Repentance doesn't come when we deny what we've been doing. Repentance comes when we own what we've been doing and we give it to God. The blind man said, I'm blind, I need healing. Jesus said, we can do that. Some of us today, Jesus is saying, what do you want from me today? What do you want? Why are you here? And there's an opportunity this morning for some of us, for all of us, for any of us who want to say, God, I am sick and tired of this dysfunctional habit. And God wants to heal you in the place of the root of that habit. Are you following? It says, let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Romans 12:2. So number two, your why determines your actions. Then Jesus went from the Galilee to the Jordan River to be baptized by John, but John tried to talk him out of it. How many know when you're changing your habits, some people are going to try to talk you out of it? Now, we always think of bad peer pressure, right? Maybe you're hanging out with the wrong crowd and they're going to try and talk you out of it. But how many know that John was a very good person here? So I hate to say this, but even some Christians might try to talk you out of it. Because some of us got some bad habits too. So when you stop gossiping and you stop that habit of talking about people, maybe even a very good-hearted person is like, well, no, it's okay to do that. And there's a question, what are you going to do about that, right? When you put in the habits of prayer or scripture reading or forgiveness, there are going to be days where someone says, well, why are you doing that? And it better be a better reason than, well, it's the right thing to do. Now, the right thing to do will get you far. It'll get you somewhere. So if that's the only reason you've got, keep doing it. But God's after a deeper reason than it's the right thing to do. How many know an Olympic athlete that's exercising every day to compete? If you went up to them and said, Pat, why are you exercising for the Olympics? And they say, well, I got good intentions. It's the right thing to do. How many know they aren't going to get very far in the Olympics? Right? How about you ask a married couple that's been married for 50 years, and they say, well, how'd you get this far? And they said, good intentions. How many know it's going to get you, it might get you going a little bit, but somewhere the rubber's going to hit the road, and those habits are going to start revealing your why, and there's going to be an opportunity to check your heart. You following? I was going to have an exercise today, but I'm going to skip it because of the time, but I looked up, does anyone know Michael, who's the comedian's name? Michael Jr., there you go. I don't know if you know Michael Jr. If you don't, he's a phenomenal comedian. And he had someone in his audience, he asked them, can you sing Amazing Grace? So they stood up and they were like, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound, right? It was okay. And then he said, well, can you stand up and can you sing it like you got shot in the back when you were a kid and then Jesus saved you and he restored you? And the guy stood up and he started singing it, and I don't think there was a dry eye in the entire room. When you remember your why, you get a motivation and you get a passion that propels you forward. Does that make sense? Some of us have forgotten our why. And we're wondering, why do I feel passivity? And why do I feel lack of purpose creeping into my life? Those are fruit of us forgetting our why. When you know your why, no one can talk you out of it. I'm going to walk over 200,000 steps. Why? To accomplish the will of God and reveal his heart on earth. That was Jesus. I'm not going to hold on to bitterness. Why? Because Jesus forgave me, so generational dysfunction of broken relationships does not have to be my story. I'm not going to act on lust. Why? Because I am worth giving and receiving real love. How about I am going to rest, and I'm not going to be a workaholic. Why? Because I am already enough. But these can go both ways. And if you find yourself in a dysfunctional habit, it's a moment to say, God, I'm going to stop and I'm going to ask why. And then I'm going to bring that why to you, because only you can heal my heart. Only you can set me free if I'm believing a lie about myself, about someone I know, about God. And the truth will set you free. I am the one who needs to be baptized by you, he said, so why are you coming to me? But Jesus said, it should be done, for we must carry out all that God requires. So John agreed to baptize him. I love this because it shows that John wasn't on some ego trip, right? He at first disagreed with God, but then God reminded him his why. John's why was to call people to repentance, to turn to God and prepare themselves for Jesus' coming. And once Jesus reminded him of his why, his actions followed. He said, I agree. Some of us need to say, whoop, I forgot my why. Jesus, I'm going to agree with you. I'm going to stop arguing with you over this area of my life. I need to align myself with your truth that I'm finding out in the Word. Does this make sense? Broken hearts will create broken habits, and healed hearts will create whole habits. I love this. In 1 John 4:19, it says, we love because he first loved us. Why do we love? Because we are loved. Have you ever tried to love when you don't feel loved? It's exhausting. You'll burn out fast. We love because he first loved us. When you have your why, you have your motivation. You have vision. You have purpose. Your why will determine your actions. Your root will determine your fruit. Matthew 7 says, yes, just as you can identify a tree by its fruit, so you can identify people by their actions. Again, broken hearts will create broken habits, and whole hearts will create whole habits. You can try to change your destructive pattern in your life as much as you want, but until you bring your why to Jesus, until you bring that broken heart to Jesus for healing, you're going to get stuck repeating. And some of us today have been stuck in a repetitive pattern that is bringing destruction to our lives. Maybe it's at work, or maybe it's in your thoughts, or maybe it's in an addictive behavior, or maybe it's in something that you've never even told anyone about. And God wants to bring healing to you. It says, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost in Luke 19. And I love this because when I looked at the root words, seek, one of the ways of saying it is to get to the bottom of a matter. Jesus came to get to the bottom of the matter. He doesn't want to go around the loop 500 times. He wants to get to the bottom of the matter with you. And that word save means healed, rescued, delivered, out of danger, restored, and recovered. He wants to get to the bottom of the matter with you today so you can get rescued, so you can get restored. And that word lost, by the way, isn't like your spouse when they refuse to get directions, all right? That word lost is utterly destroyed or ruined or killed. He came to get to the bottom of the matter in the areas of your life that are utterly destroyed, and he came to restore you. If that doesn't make you want to thank God for something this morning, then you're in the wrong church. Isn't that incredible? Wow. We got to work on our thanking God. I guess we got it all out in worship. It was a very energetic worship this morning. Broken hearts with broken habits are found by a savior. Your why defines your actions. Your root determines your fruit. So if you don't like what you're seeing in your habits, it's time to stop and ask why. Don't just try and muscle through it. Don't put a Band-Aid on it. But let's meet the Savior in our utterly ruined areas so he can actually bring restoration. Amen? Amen. So my last point is number 3. Your why is about more than you. Matthew 3 again says, after his baptism, as Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settling on him, and a voice from heaven said, this is my dearly loved Son who brings me great joy. I love this. Guess what it does not say there? The heavens close back up. It says, the heavens open, and let me tell you a secret. I don't think they ever close back up. Isn't that good news? So let's zoom out. The world really does not need more good-intentioned people. How many know there are a lot of good-intentioned people? Now, whether they've got the same good intentions of you, I don't know. But there are a lot of good-intentioned people. And it'll get you so far. But if the church doesn't know why we're here, then we're going to lose our motivation. We're going to lose the foundational habits of faith and tenacity and perseverance that the world is actually crying out for. Because the world's crying out for the Great Commission to be fulfilled still. Right? And it'll be July next. In July, we're going to be talking on Mission Possible. That's our next sermon series, Mission Possible. And we're going to get into the mission more. Because the church's why is not to hold out and survive until Jesus comes back. The church's why is not to try to reach and strive for connection with a distant God. And yet, unfortunately, a lot of sometimes the church's habits or actions over the last few thousand years reflect that that's the why. But that's not my why, and that's not the why here. And that's not the why of a lot of churches around our world. Amen. Our why has to be, we believe the gospel is enough. Our why has to be that we believe Jesus is still transforming, he's still saving, he's still welcoming the lost, he's still healing the sick, he's still freeing the oppressed. I could go on. And our why is he's coming back for a church. So my question is, are your habits reflecting the prayer that Jesus said to pray on earth as it is in heaven, just like when the heavens opened up? Or are your habits reflecting, Jesus, get me out of here to heaven, I'm checking out? Where the rubber hits the road in our relationship with God. I got to tell you something, I needed to do a heart check when I wrote that down. I thought, ooh, I don't want to say that out loud. Are your habits in your spiritual life reflecting God on earth as it is in heaven? Even when I got to walk 200,000 steps today, on earth as it is in heaven. Or is it saying, God, get me out of here, I'm checking out till my 9-to-5 is over and then I can go hang with some friends or whatever. Just get me through the day. And you know what? There's grace for days like that. There's no condemnation in Christ, but there is an invitation to live on purpose in our habits. So why don't you stand on your feet? The why of the church for the last 2,000 years, whether people have realized it or not, is your kingdom come. Can you just say that out loud? Your kingdom come. It's not my kingdom. It's not the enemy's kingdom. It's not even anybody's here kingdom. It's your kingdom come. In my finances, in my relationships, in my time, in my goals. I want to end with this scripture, Colossians 1. It says, God rescued us. This is the message. I don't normally use it, but it was powerful in these words. God rescued us from dead end alleys and dark dungeons. He set us up in the kingdom of the Son he loves so much, the Son who got us out of the pit we were in and got rid of the sins we were doomed to keep repeating. Did you know you were doomed to keep repeating? You were doomed to keep repeating. But God rescued us from the dead end alleys and dark dungeons. And he set us up in the kingdom of the Son he loves so much. Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. I am not doomed to keep repeating this because your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. I'm a citizen of heaven. You know, the most powerful shirt that Brian has, it says, heaven is my home. I'm just here recruiting. We were at the gym the other week and Brian was checking us in, and I went ahead and went into the bathroom. I got changed, and I'm sitting there, and 10 minutes goes by, and I'm getting angry. I'm like, does he know that I'm in my workout clothes? He was supposed to meet me because we only got one gym lock. Don't go there, right? So I'm like, I got a hand in my gym bag, and I'm getting angry. I'm calling him. He's not answering. I call him like 6 times. I'm like, what happened? He gets stuck in the bathroom, or like, what happened? Well, he comes back and he says, I'm so sorry. The guy at the counter of the gym read my shirt on heaven is my home. I'm just here recruiting. And he started talking to me about my theology of heaven. And I could not walk away because I had to tell him about the gospel for 15 minutes. And you know what I thought? I thought, oh, I am a citizen of heaven. Heaven is my home. I'm just here recruiting. But do my habits say that? Or do my habits speak of trying to escape what Jesus actually already died to save me from? So as we end the habits today, my question that I want to leave you with, it's a little exercise I encourage you to do in your devotions, is when I fill in the blank, I am believing fill in the blank. All right? Take it to God in prayer. So when I disrespect my husband, what am I actually believing? Why am I doing this? Holy Spirit, what's in my heart? What am I believing about myself? What am I believing about you, God? What am I believing about him? And then find it in the scripture. And let me tell you, if what you're believing is not scriptural, get that truth in you and set you free. Does that make sense? This is where the rubber hits the road. Find your why and take it to God. So Jesus, right now, we just thank you that you died on that cross, not just for our what, Not just so that we could be busy and do, but because you wanted to transform our why. God, and today you're asking us why. And you're opening your hands up and you're saying, bring me your why so I can transform it. Bring me your brokenness so I can heal it. Bring me that generational junk that you've been carrying. Bring me those lies that you've been believing about yourself. Bring me it all and let me transform it. And Jesus, I just thank you that right now you're even highlighting some things in our lives that maybe we've gotten comfortable with, or maybe we've been uncomfortable, but we have no idea what to do with it. And God, I thank you that right now you are taking it from us and you are healing hearts today. You are healing minds. You're even healing bodies. In Jesus' name, we give you permission, God, to remind us Monday through Friday this week when we start to slip back in, wait a minute, why? Is my why your kingdom come on earth, or is my why something else? Is it my kingdom come? We choose you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. If you enjoyed today's message, please support us by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to our podcast. You can find more info and invest in the gospel at thriveny.org. Go and thrive this week, and we will see you soon.